Amen. Amen. Until the Lord tells me otherwise, I'm going to be preaching through the book of Hebrews. Amen. You can be seated if you can. Amen. I give honor to my wife on today. Amen. Amen. To all the ministers in the house. Amen. Amen. All our visitors. Amen. Armor bearers, ushers, deacons, everybody in their respective place. Amen. And I have a very simple title on today. Amen. Jesus is God. Amen. And that might seem simple in words only. Amen. But this one little thing right here mess a lot of people up. They understand God the Father all day. But it's something about the name Jesus. And the reason that the Lord has sent me to just preach through this book, just to preach slash teach, amen, through this book, is because a lot of people don't understand why Jesus is so important. Or they look at him as their homeboy or their friend or just a random person or a historical figure. But the title says everything that I'm trying to say. Jesus is God, and he should be respected as such.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When I say that, there is something about the name. That's what moves stuff, right? You can't even approach. Like, we love the call on Father God, right? Father God. But you can't even approach Father God without going through Amen. The mighty and the majestic name of Jesus. It's his blood, it's his sacrifice on the cross that even opens the door, that even makes God the Father hear your prayer. That's why John 3:16 is so important. That when it talks about the Father giving his only begotten Son, like all that means something. You can't get to the Father without going through Jesus. I need y'all to understand that Jesus is God. This whole Bible, talks about him from the Old Testament to the New Testament. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And as I was just preparing, because I've been reading this for the last 2 weeks, just reading back and forth, start at chapter 1, read all the way to the end. It's only 14 chapters. Reading it over and reading it over and reading it over again. And I talked to the Lord. I don't know about y'all. I talked to him and I say, why this God? Why now? Because I need y'all to understand that when we look out at the world, we know legislation was signed on the 4th of July. We done celebrated Juneteenth. We see all this stuff happening in the world, right? And I am constantly reminded because my brain spins. And the reason that my brain spins is because I believe that when pastors, that when preachers, when they speak, when they counsel, when they minister, they should be able to speak to whatever is going on in the world. And be able to apply the word of God to any and every situation, because I believe that everything can be found in the word. Because sometimes people are going to have questions or people are going to be going through things in their life, and you want to just throw a scripture at them, and that scripture don't move nothing because you don't have enough word on the inside of you. You don't have enough biblical knowledge on the inside of you to actually explain or minister or counsel or tell them how to process the stuff that they're going through. I hope this is making sense to somebody. And so I said, God, why this? Why now? And at the end of all my searching, he just said the main thing that they need to know is that Jesus is God. And what I mean by that is when you say Jesus is God, that means he's in control. That means he has all power in his hand. That means that there is nothing that he has not seen. There is nothing that he has not dealt with. There is nothing that he has not felt. The Bible says that he has borne our life. He knows everything, all the suffering. He knows that. He doesn't just sit back off in some faraway land and look down on him and say, oh, they're going through something. No, God sent his son to enter into our suffering with us, to defeat hell and death, right? That's what the resurrection is all about. I hope somebody catching on to this, because y'all quiet on me on today. That's what the resurrection is about, right? That not even death. Muhammad ain't do that. Buddha ain't do. Buddha's still spinning in reincarnation, right? Jesus says, it's finished.
Right.
The claims, the reason I'm going with, because I need y'all to understand that the claims that the Bible makes about Jesus, no other figure in history, no other religious person in history makes the same claims that the Bible makes about Jesus. Jesus is God. There is nothing too hard for him. Lord, I thank you. And so in Hebrews 1, and I'm just going to read. See, I need y'all to understand this is where God has me in my preaching. It ain't no bullet points. This is just verses 1 through 14. It ain't no index card. It's what the Lord, and this is what we need in this. We need the straight word, rightly divided. Rightly divided. We have to have, if somebody asks you, because people have asked me, a lot of people struggle with this title. They're quick to tell you that they believe in God, but which one? And when you say Jesus, they be like, but why? We passed the days of your grandmama where grandmama just say, just because I say so. That's why you believe. We pass. Now people want to know why. They want to know why. Like you have, and if you don't know, you're a Christian and you're telling them to come to church, believe in Jesus, but you can't even explain why. You don't even know why yourself. Right? God is calling us now more than ever to be able to defend the faith that we say we believe in. And let me tell y'all something else. If you can't answer this question, if you can't answer why Jesus is God, you're going to struggle with a lot of things in your life. Because if your why to whatever you do, if your why on your job, if your why in your marriage, if your why with your kids, if your why with your purpose is not attached to Jesus being God, you are going to struggle to be able to accomplish or do anything in this life. Because I got like, when you read the, come on now, when you read Revelation and you see him sitting on the throne and all of creation is revolving around him, you got to understand that you are a part of that creation. So when you don't understand what the center of everything is, what the heartbeat of everything is, how can you live a full and abundant life? And you don't even understand who and what you were designed to worship. This thing right here, what we're talking about on this Sunday morning, is important. Jesus is God. Hebrews 1, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways through our ancestors, through the prophets. God has been telling this a long time. And I got to give y'all, I need y'all to understand the backstory. Because I'm in the Word this morning. I need y'all to understand Hebrew. Do you know what a Hebrew is? We're talking about God's people from the Old Testament. They used to be called Hebrews, right? Right? So that we really don't know who wrote this book, but we know that he was talking to a set of Jewish people. So these people were religious. These people knew God. These people had worshiped the God of the Old Testament. These people had worshiped God the Father. But this book specifically is written to these people who worship God the Father, the God of Abraham, and is trying to get them to understand that Jesus is God. He's trying to say, don't go back to how you used to do. Don't go back to the Old Testament. Don't go back to slaughtering rams and trying to keep the law. I need y'all to understand that Jesus is God. I need y'all. It's something that Pastor Carter used to say, and I don't think that we really understand. She used to say that the Bible is for Christians. We try to make the word for people that's out there in the street and try to put it on there. But y'all got to understand, every prophet was talking to God's people. They weren't prophesying to the heathens. They were prophesying to God's people. These letters, Paul was writing letters to the who? Not the street. He was writing letters to the church. The word is for the right. And so when you read the Bible and you understand that the Bible was written for the church and you start to see, man, the people in the church, the people in Corinth, the people in Ephesus, they was messed up. Right? They was messed up. So Paul had to address sexual sin. Paul had to address all these things. Greed, lust, taking care of widows and orphans. He was, the whole Bible is talking to people who should know better. You've been walking with God since Abraham, and you don't know no better? Jesus would turn to the disciples and say, how don't you know these things? He would turn to Nicodemus, who was a teacher, and say, how don't you know these things? But we sit up in the church like the Bible ain't for us. That the Bible is not trying to correct us. Like the Bible is not trying to teach us. Not just for somebody else that's worse than us. No, the Bible is for us. The book of Hebrews was encouragement to not turn around, to have faith in the work of Jesus and not to go back to that old religion. And so that's why in the first verse, the author says, the Lord, a long time ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors. He spoke through the Red Sea. He spoke through the Judges. He spoke through Isaiah. He spoke through Joshua. He spoke through Joseph. A long time ago, he spoke through David. In many times and in many ways, he spoke to our ancestors through the prophets. Now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. I need y'all to understand that. Now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his son. We talking about Jesus. He has spoken to us through his son. God promised everything to the son as an inheritance. Everything means everything. When I tell you that Jesus has everything in his hand, when he sits on the right hand of the throne with the Father, and y'all got to understand, I love the Bible. You have to understand the imagery. God would not let a random person sit on the throne. God would not give a random person everything. Right? When you say Jesus sits on the throne, it's equating him. It's saying you are able to sit in a place that is only reserved for him. It is equating him. It is putting him on the same level as God the Father. So a lot of times when we praying to God the Father, but we don't want to work on our relationship with Jesus, it hinders our prayers. What you mean work on your relationship with Jesus? You got to understand what Jesus came to do. Jesus came to die for your sins. So when you don't want to acknowledge that there are things in your life that are separating you from God, that's hindering your walk with God. And I gotta get right with the Son. I have to acknowledge what the Son has done. And let me tell you, this is what makes it so hard for some of us to give up things. Because we want to believe in God. We want to believe. We want to do right. But it's like the rich young ruler. When we are confronted with actually giving up something, then it's like, hold on now. Now, Lord, I want you, but I don't know if I can give up that thing. So many times, Jesus, this is what I mean by working on your relationship with Jesus. So many times, Jesus would ask his disciples to leave everything and follow me. And notice I use that word, everything. Again, when he says leave everything, sometimes we don't want to give up the control over our kids. We don't want to surrender them, but we should. We should say, God, you made them. You just made me a steward, right? You just put them in my care for me to love on them and raise them, but they belong to you. Right? All this, like the Bible changes how you think. Your mind becomes new. When you realize that you're just a steward, so now watch this. So that means, God, if they belong to you, because I just told you, God gave them everything. So that means if he takes them, they're going back where they came from. They were never meant to stay with you forever anyway, because they don't belong to you. When he takes your spouse, Spouse didn't belong to you anyway. Come on, see, this is meat right here. Jesus is God. And the things that God, the things that Jesus asked us to do, that challenge us to allow self to die. They challenge us. The word says that God promised everything to his son as an inheritance. And through the son, he created the universe. The stars belong to him. The moon belongs to him. The oceans belong to him. The food that go in your mouth belongs to him. The clothes on your back belong to him. Right? That money belongs to him. It all belongs to him. So while you holding on to them coins, sell a man, rob God. It all belongs to him. But our mind. So when I say your prayers are hindered because you don't want to work on your relationship, what is in you that got you holding on to $70 when you make $700? What is that in you?
What is it?
Right? But you want to pray to the Father. You got to work on your relationship. You got to figure out what's that thing in me that got me holding on that I can't give up 70 and keep the rest. Right? What's that thing in me that makes me think that I love my family more than the God of the universe? Well, what's in me that makes me think I got more control over what's going to happen with the government than the God of the universe? It's pride. It's lust of the flesh. It's lust of the eyes. That third verse tells us that the sun radiates God's own glory. Radiates. When you look, we were in Arizona at the Grand Canyon. I'm talking about that sun so hot, you keep your head down. You can't, even with shades on, you can't look up and look at the sun. Y'all understand? You can't even look like you try to stare at it, and you can't. The word says that the sun radiates God's own glory. Jesus is God. His work on the cross sets him apart. Right? He radiates the glory. He expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. What I just read to you, Hebrews is attributing every characteristic that the Father has to Jesus. It's showing you the oneness. They are one and the same, right? He has cleansed us from our sins, and he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Lord, I thank you. His place where he sits gives us access. Right? Why do you think at the end of the prayer we say in Jesus' name? We stand it. Because it's like I could walk up to God and say in Jonathan's name, but that name don't carry no weight. That way, though, it don't carry no. You know, sometimes when you're trying to get something, you got a name drop. You know, like such and such sent me. And they be like, oh, okay. But before you mention that name, they like, who are you? I don't know you.
Right.
But you're like, yeah, I'm such and such cousin. Such and such my mama. Oh, I got you. I love your mama. I'm going to do it for her.
Right.
You got a name drop. In the kingdom of heaven, you have to name drop.
Glory, glory.
You got to name drop Jesus.
Yes.
Because what I'm reading to you in those first four verses is telling you. It's telling you that it's by his name. Because that fourth verse shows you, it says, and this shows that the Son is far greater than the angels. Just as the name God gave him is greater than their name. And the angels some bad boys now. They some bad boys. They announce things to the whole world. They announce Jesus' birth. They are messengers. They are protectors. So for those who, this is a whole nother, I'm on Jesus as God today. I ain't teaching about angels today. Right? But I need y'all to understand that they are real. When you come to the altar and I pray, Lord, assign an angel to them. The angels are the ones who, when you got in that car accident at the corner, up there on Gillianville, in the car run or the thing, it's the angels. When you figure out how did I walk away, that's the angels. They are announcers. They are messengers. They are protectors. But the fourth verse tells us that even the name of Jesus is greater and more mightier than the angels. Right? Why? Because the angels are created beings. Jesus has no origin. He's from the beginning. Read Hebrews. He's from the beginning. He's not created. Right? Lord, I thank you. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. For God never said to any angels what he said to Jesus, you are my Son. Today I have become your Father. God also said, I will be his Father and he will be my Son. Let me explain that, because some people will try to twist that to make you think that it's saying that the Son is subordinate to the Father. No, it's just like a coming out. Like, God is just showing, like, this is everything that I am is wrapped up. It is an announcement. It is an announcement. When we use that name, Emmanuel, God is with us. That thing is an announcement that God, right? Why would you say God is with us if God ain't with us? Y'all understand what I'm saying? That name is used specifically to let you know what John 3:16 said, that God sent his Son in the flesh. He sent himself. He sent himself in the flesh to walk among us. And what Hebrews is telling us is that God has never done that for an angel. He's never made these type of claims about an angel or another created being. Right? And when he brought his supreme Son, y'all understand? Look at the language. When he brought his supreme Son, who has supremacy? Nobody but who? God. Jesus. Nobody but God can use that term as being supreme. Right? And when he brought his supreme Son into the world, God said, let all of God's angels worship him. Regarding the angels, he said, he sends his angels like winds, his servants like flames of fire. But the Son says, your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter, but to the Son, he says. Look at what he says to the Son. Your throne. It's two thrones. A throne for God the Father and a throne for Jesus. It's one throne. God the Father says to the Son, your throne. They one and the same. Right? Your throne, O God, endures forever. You rule with the scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, he's still talking to the Son. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else. I need y'all to understand. Remember the context. The people that the writer of Hebrews is talking to, they worship angels. They were up here. Well, why are you making a point of this, Pastor? Because sometimes we worship people and things that have no power to actually save us. This is how this book relates to us. Remember what I say. The author of Hebrews is trying to get them not to go back to their old ways, not to put their trust in the old things. Right? In the Old Testament, The captain of the Lord's host appeared to Joshua, right? It wasn't Jesus in the flesh. It was a being. It was an angel. It was somebody that let him know that God is here, right? Take off your sandals. Worship. That's why when the disciples were trying to, when they were doing all of those miracles, the people wanted to bow down and worship them. And they like, no, don't worship us. Like, these people, they were used. They were used to God just appearing, or God doing things, and they would want to worship angels, or they would want to do rituals, or they would want to do sacrifices. And the author is saying, no, don't go back to your old ways. I need y'all to understand what all of those things. I need you to understand what the angels are all about. I need you to understand what all the sacrifices are about. All of these things are pointing to Jesus as God. Y'all with me? They pointed to Jesus as God. And it's him that's sitting on the throne. It's him that's ruling. It's him that loves justice. So I got to tell y'all, when y'all watch the news, please know. Please know that Jesus loves justice. And he hates evil. Right? And the anointing. The anointing. The word says that the anointing flows from the head down. Well, who is the head of the church? Jesus. If you want the anointing, if you want breakthrough, if you want healing, you have to go through Jesus. You got to go through where from. Like when he's talking to the woman at the well and he say, if you knew who you were talking to, you would never thirst again. He's making her promises about being a living type of water, right? That quenches better and more than a regular type of water. He's making her, he's basically saying, I am an eternal spring. But the problem is, we not like the deer that panteth after the water. Like, we not like that. And that's what, so when I say your prayers are hindered because you don't want to chase after God, right? We live in a society where you ain't got to do all that no more. You ain't got to do all that. God gonna love you regardless. And I keep telling y'all, it ain't about what you gotta do. It's about what you wanna do. The question is why you don't wanna do it. That's the real question. Not what you gotta do. The question is why you don't want it. That's why I say, what is it in you? That's the real question. But we try to explain it away by saying we ain't gotta do it. I ain't got to do that. God don't need money. I ain't got to give. I ain't got to show up every Sunday. I don't have to show up for people. I don't have to forgive. They the ones that hurt me. Right? I ain't got to do all of that. We love to say God know our heart. You should be afraid that he knows your heart. You should be scared that he knows your heart. The question is, why don't we want to do it? Why don't we want to go all out? We'll go all out for that job. Go to work sick. Go to work tired. Right? Give our best. Come home tired. Come home so tired that you don't even have time to talk to your children. Come home so tired you don't even have time to spend with your wife. Come home like you neglect. Come home so tired like I just want to stay at home on Sunday and watch football. Come home so tired. Because you done worked all week. But when it's time for the Lord, I ain't got to do all that. No, you don't. Because y'all know that's the thing now. You ain't got to go to church to have a relationship with the Lord. Show me that in the Bible. Why they walked in community? Yes, right? Yes. Why the word say, well, two or three gather? It don't take a lot, but it don't say, well, one is gathered. When you rolling by yourself, God is in it. We're like, whoa. That's what I say. We throw terms around. But where's the Bible? Like, where's the Bible? Where's the Bible? Lord, I thank you. 10th verse. Ain't but 14. I'm almost done. He also says to the Son, in the beginning, Lord. Come on now. That thing is so clear. God the Father is talking to the Son. And he says to the Son, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundation of earth and made the heavens with your hand. The sun was there in the beginning. So that's why when you read Jesus and it says, let us, who is plural, the sun was there. You laid the foundation of the earth and made heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you will remain forever. Why is this important, congregation? Right? Why is this important? Because everything, that's why I'm saying, if you don't grab hold if you don't grab hold to who you are worshiping, it's hard for you to understand. Like, do you really understand that you are the work of Jesus' hand? I'm specific with my terminology. You are the work of his hand. You are the work of Jesus' hand. He made you. He watched over you. He cared for you. While you was yet in your sin, he said, my daughter ain't gonna make it. I'm gonna leave my throne. I'm gonna leave this seat from eternity. I'm gonna enter in to this sinful world, die for my son, right? But that's not the end of the story. I'm gonna love him so much that I'm gonna turn around and send a comforter. That's a whole nother lesson on the Holy Spirit is God. We're going to do that later. I'm a sinner comforter. Right? And he assigns to this comforter all the things that only God could do. Give you peace that surpasses understanding. Now my wife gives me comfort sometimes. A surprise check gives me comfort sometimes. But peace that surpasses understanding,
yes.
That's only something that God can do.
Amen.
So when people are trying to explain away the importance of the name or the importance of the Spirit, of being filled with, right? So to be filled with the Holy Ghost is to be filled with God. Right? So when you're trying to unlock something, and I no longer have the words to say, how can God, right, call out? It's one thing for my pastor to pray for me, and another one for the Holy Ghost to cry out in words that even I don't understand. For God to be on the inside of me, come on now, this is good to me. For God to be on the inside of me, praying for me, for things I don't even know I need. But we downplay the importance of the Holy Ghost. God say, how can I put wine in an old vessel? Right? He want to fill you with new wine. So when I say you got to work on your relationship with Jesus, you can't have Holy Ghost like in order to do the work. In order to do the work. In order to do the work. You need that Holy Ghost. He can't fill you. God does not want to reside in a place where he is not wanted. He don't want, like, you don't want to be. You don't want to be in a place where you're not wanted. And that's what this world is about. Think about civil rights and all this stuff. People fighting to be invited into a place that they're not wanted. That's what we do. You in elementary school or middle school or high school, you ain't part of the cool clique. So you, even though you don't want to do this stuff, even though you don't want to sleep with the boy, but in order to sleep with, to get him, you gotta sleep with him. Because that's what the world tells you, that's what love is all about. We fight, we do all of these things to be included in places where people don't want us or they want to use us and abuse us. But for the very person that made us, we won't give him the time of day. We won't reverence him. And he wants to be where we are. He stands at the door and he knocks. And he wants to be where we are. Right? He want to be everywhere. He don't want to be like, oh, I'm tired of you now. I'm about to go take a vacation from you. That's how we do. Lord, I'm tired. I just need a little break. I'm going to take a vacation. Then when I get back, I'm gonna pick you back up. And I'm going to go hard for you for a little while. Right. He want to be with us on vacation. Married folks, he want to be with you in the bedroom. He want to be with you in the hospital room. He want to be with you when you're poor and your clothes don't look right, when your hair ain't right. He want to be with you when you're skinny and when you're fat. He want to be with you when you're healthy and when you're sick. He want to be with you when you're pretty and when you're ugly. He don't switch up on you like people switch up on you. He want to be with you at all times. Lord, I thank you. All these things that he made, the 10th verse say that these things, he made these things with his hands. The 11th verse tells us that these things will perish, but he will remain forever. And when I say everything that he made will perish, that includes your loved ones. Because he made them. They will perish, but he will remain forever. We got to spend more time making sure our loved ones are attached to things that are eternal. You want to see them again? Make sure they attach to things that are eternal. Lord, I thank you. Ooh, I know that thing's standing, but it's all right. God is good. That's what the word is supposed to do. It's a two-edged sword. It cuts you going in and cuts you coming out. Right? But Romans 1:16 says it's the power of God unto salvation. We can cry. We can come up at the altar and cry. But it's going to be the word. It's going to be conviction. It's going to be repentance that gets us to accept that Jesus is God. Ooh, I'm coming in. Right? The word says that these things, these created things, will wear out like old clothing. He said you will fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You will live forever. And God never said to any of the angels, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Every knee gonna bow. Every tongue gonna confess. That what? Well, you finished that scripture. Jesus is God. You might be fighting against that thing. And that's what we do. We fight like we are willing to accept that there is a God out there somewhere. But the name of Jesus, that thing different. Because you have to understand once again, what did he actually come to do? He came to reconcile you to God, to put you right with God. And the only way you can be put right with God is to address your sins. You can say you believe in God all you want to, but until you get this Jesus thing right, ain't nothing gonna move. Ain't nothing gonna shake. Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. The number 14 means deliverance. That 14th verse, and I'm done. It says the angels, because I'm giving y'all context once again. The angels were only designed to be messengers. Why are you bringing that up again, Pastor? I need y'all to understand I'm only designed to be a messenger. Y'all come up and you get a touch. You get a touch from the Spirit. That ain't me. That's the Holy Ghost. But I can guarantee you, if you had the Spirit on the inside of you, and you came up and got that same touch, it'll move something totally different. What you mean, Pastor? That's why you can get a touch on one Sunday, and a week later, you the same way you was before you got the touch. So that was just a little keeping power, a little run on a little bit longer power. You ain't got no sustaining power. You ain't got no power that when pastor die, and you trying to figure out, well, what church I'm going to go to now? And you decide, I ain't going to church no more because these folks ain't real out here. You ain't had Jesus. You ain't had, because you're going to run out like it's bigger than pastor. My faith is gone. My Holy Ghost is going to sustain me when pastor gone, when he ain't answering the phone no more. Because ain't nobody on the other end of the line. Because I'm a created thing. And when he decides to take me, he going to take me. Your faith going to fall apart? What you going to do? Jesus is God. Jesus is God. Jesus is God.
Amen, amen, amen.
Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Y'all come on, let's give you some praise.